the late Douglas MacArthur, famous general during World War II, said there is no substitute for success. I believe he was correct. There's nothing like being successful. Whether it's in your career, your personal life, or if you're just playing games around the house, it's just fun to win. I've seen some weekend golfers that have sunk a 2-foot putt and you think they just won the Masters. Just excited and thrilled to win and to be successful. I also think we want to be successful spiritually. I think that's something that people in general want to be successful spiritually. That's why many seek for answers, many seek for truth, and that's why those that are saved, that have put their faith in Christ, why you may be here this morning. You want to walk with God, you want to be successful in your spiritual life with the Lord. The problem is, we know it's not possible through the energy of the flesh. That's what makes it difficult. It's not possible to be successful with God with our works and our efforts. Yes, He'll use our works and our efforts, but we must be successful through His strength and His power. You see, the believer's success depends upon God. And this morning, I want us to look at the book of Joshua. The title of the message is Joshua, the Book of Success. And I hope and pray by the end of this message that I'll have encouraged you to not only read this book, but to study it and to see that God not only gave Joshua and the Israelites success, but He can also give you success as well in your everyday life and in your walk with the Lord. So this morning, Joshua chapter 1, and in verse 1 it says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses, his minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel." Lord, we thank You for this day. I thank You for the blessings that You have provided for our church and for us as individuals. I pray this morning as we go further into this message that You will guide and direct in the words that I have to say. I pray that You'll help us to focus on Your Word, and I pray that You'll provide the teaching that You have for each one of our hearts here today. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today I want to talk about the book of Joshua. We're going through the whole Bible, through the whole world, looking one book at a time. And as I stated before, I hope and pray after each message that I can show you why you need this book in your life, why you need to read it, and why you need to study it. The book of Joshua. I'm going to give you 3 points on the book of Joshua. We're going to talk about the charge. And when I mean the charge, basically the command, the direction that God gave to Joshua and the Israelites. And then we're going to talk about the conquest. They were victorious. They were extremely successful as they walked with God. And then finally, we're going to talk about the claims. Once they got in the land, the Bible said they made some claims on the land, and that God blessed them and continued to bless them as they entered into the land. So we're going to look at this book real quick this morning. And I want to begin with a charge. We read there in Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, that it began with a leader. I think that's important for us to remember, because Moses had just passed away. You know, the book of Deuteronomy, really, it ends almost on a sad note. You have Moses, the man who led Israel for all those years, the meek, powerful, faithful, strong leader, looking into the promised land, but unable to enter in. And the Bible says that he passed away, and that a new man came upon the scene. You know, what we're reminded right away, that God's work will carry on. You see, God will never be defeated. God's work will carry on. God just may work through someone else. Even the best of people have to go home to God. Even the best of Christians must at some point go to the Lord. You think of some of the preachers of the past or missionaries of the past. They're not with us anymore because they're with the Lord now. You see, God is now working through different men and through different women to carry out His will. And so we find that here in this book, that Joshua was the new man that God would call into His work. Now, here's some thoughts on Joshua. I want to begin first that Joshua was a determined and successful leader. He's the main character of this book. It's titled after him, and rightly so, because he's the main person. He's the leader of the book. And I'm going to give you some thoughts on Joshua. First, the Bible tells us that he was prepared for this calling. You see, whomever God calls, God will also prepare them for it. Not just in the ministry, but also in your life. If God has a direction for you that He wants you to go, He's going to prepare you for that direction. He's able to do that. We find that Joshua was born in Egypt, And there in Egypt, he must have witnessed the hardships of slavery, the terrible, terrible actions that took place in Egypt must have made an impression on his young mind. And the Bible tells us that he also witnessed the power of the Lord to redeem. I often wonder how many of the miracles he saw as far as the plagues. It was Moses and Aaron were the ones that were there right there. But Joshua may have witnessed a lot of these firsthand, obviously, living in Egypt. And he saw the power of God to redeem. This tells us right away that God can work through any person. I've heard people say before, well, God can't use me. Think of what I did in the past or where I've come from. Well, if you've been forgiven, God can use you. God can work through you. We find here with Joshua that he came from a household of slaves, yet God would take him and make him a great leader amongst the nation of Israel. Also, Joshua was the second in command to Moses. And in that position, he fought key battles. And he waited on Moses while Moses went up to the mount to receive the commandments from God. We find Joshua sitting there waiting for Moses to return. And here's my thought on that. Be faithful where you are. You know, we're not always in the position of leadership, whether it's at work or serving God. But be faithful where God has placed you. Be faithful where the Lord has you working. And that's what we find with Joshua. Secondly, Joshua was patient. He was prepared, but he was also patient. The Bible tells us that he waited for the Lord to exalt him to this position. He didn't just push himself in. He didn't look and say, well, Moses, I think you're getting a little old. It's my turn to lead now. He waited patiently for God to give him the position of leadership. You know, God knows when you're ready for the next step in your life. And he's able to move you forward as well. So let's just be patient with God and wait on him to lead and to direct. Also, Joshua waited as the Lord led them through the wilderness. Now, Joshua was one of the two, him and Caleb. They wanted to go into the promised land. They believed God. They trusted God. But the rest of the nation said, no, we can't go in. And God said, well, you got to go through the wilderness now for 40 years. Think of Joshua. I imagine, now this is just my thought now. I don't know about Joshua. My thought would have been, man, we could have been in there. We could have been enjoying that land for all these years. Now I got to go in the wilderness with you people. Now that's just my thought. That's not Joshua. That's me. That's probably my flesh thinking that. But Joshua waited in the wilderness. He went with him. And there during the difficulties and the trials, we don't read much of Joshua, but we know he was there. And he was faithful to God. Also, Joshua was persistent. He was very persistent. The Bible says, as I've already mentioned, that he stood by Caleb. And both those men, by themselves, said, we can take it, even though the rest of the nation said, no, we can't. I tell you what, sometimes it's best to be in the minority. Sometimes it's best, even if it's just one or two, to stand up for God and say, yes, we can. And that's what Joshua did. The Bible says, because of his persistence, God blessed him. Because of his faith, he was able to enter into the land. Also, the Bible says that he stood with God, as we'll talk about here in a few minutes. Throughout this book, he stood with God as he went into the land, as he entered the land. I think we find a man who not only had faith, but he had the fear of God in his heart. And so he didn't try to do things on his own. He didn't try to come up with his own plan. He didn't have his own agenda. He just walked with God, and he let God lead the way. You know, Joshua, I think, is a powerful example for us. In 2016, we can learn a lot from his life. We can learn a lot from his character, from his conduct. So I encourage you, if nothing else, read the book so you can learn from this man right here. He was a ruler that commanded the respect of the people. He maintained order in a time of difficulty. And he led the people after God, not after himself. We find a confident leader that inspired courage. And he challenged the people to walk with God. You know, as a pastor, I tell you what, I can't help but just respect Joshua. That's the role of a pastor a lot of times, to inspire the people to walk with God, to challenge them, to give their life to God and let God lead their life. Now, Joshua was not Moses. I want to make this clear. He was different. He wasn't Moses, but he didn't have to be. And that's the point I want to give to you real quick. Joshua was called and prepared for a unique purpose. His job was to take the people into the land, to win victories, to take them into battles, to encourage them, to strengthen them, and to guide and direct and to make quick decisions. You see, the best person to be is yourself. Sometimes if we're not careful, we want to be like someone else. Now, we should learn from others, obviously. But the best person to be is yourself. God specifically created you, and he's able to use you for his glory. Wherever you are, be yourself. Let God work through you. That's who Joshua was. He was himself. And God worked through him, in a great way. So we find the determined leader. That's the first point here under this charge. Now let's get into this book. Joshua 1 verse 2 says, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel." It says in verse 3, "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." You talk about a command. You talk about direction. You talk about encouragement. God looks upon Moses. He says, "Tell the people to go into the land. Tell them it's theirs, that I have given it to them. I am keeping it for them. Tell them that they'll be successful. Nobody will be able to stand against you. A guaranteed victory." You know, if they trusted in God, which we'll see that they did, there was no reason not to go forward. You see, God gave them the promise of victory and the promise of success. We find He promised victory in verses 3 through 5. He provided some direction. All they had to do was obey God. That's all they had to do. And God would bless. You see, He would give them His presence. He would give them His protection. They just needed some obedience. You know, the Bible tells us in Joshua 3, and I'm going to be turning to some different passages as we go through this book. Joshua 3, verse 15. It says that when they came to the Jordan River, as they're getting ready to cross into the land, that God provided a miracle for them. Have you ever had a time in your life where you're going through a difficulty, a trial, or a struggle, and it seems like God provided a blessing right when you needed it, some encouragement just to get you through another day, maybe to get you through the week? Well, that's what I think He did with Israel. Now, there was a point to this, of course, but I also believe that He encouraged the nation as they came to this Jordan River. Now, keep in mind, this is a new generation. Many of them may not have witnessed or known of the plagues. They just knew about them from what they were taught. They didn't know about the crossing of the Red Sea except from what they heard and what people shared with them. Now, some may have remembered, but we have them coming to this Jordan, and God says, "Okay, I'm going to split the sea, the waters for you so you can walk across on dry land." You see, God had given them their promise, His promise, that if they went in the land, they'd have it. And as they entered the land, God also provided a sign of His blessing, that God would be with them and He would protect them and He would provide for them. You see, God reassured them is what He did. And God is able to do that in your life as well. He's able to reassure you as you walk with Him. I think the best reassurance you're going to find is reading His book. You read the Bible, you're going to find teachings, you're going to find all sorts of promises. And those reassure your faith as you walk with God. So I encourage you to read the Bible. Also, we find in Joshua chapter 5, and I'm not going to turn there, but they were restored as a nation, so to speak. What I mean by that is they kept the Passover for the first time, it says, in all those years. They had neglected it. Well, they kept it again. And also they brought in the rite of circumcision. Basically, they got right with God is what they did. They got everything right with God before they entered into the land, so that way God could bless them. And now all they had to do was follow the Lord. Here's the lesson for us in this first point. We're talking about the charge, the command of God. All we have to do is take God at His word and follow Him. Now, it may seem simple. You may say, "Pastor, that's simple." Well, that's all it is. Take God at His word and follow Him. You read through the entire Old Testament, you find that. That's all David did. That's all Daniel did. They took God at His word, and God is the one who provided the blessings. We find that's all that Joshua would do. Take God at His word, and God would provide. How about salvation? I want to make this real to us a little bit. How about salvation? The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Later in that book, John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." You see, God has provided salvation, and He's provided some direction. The next step for us is obedience. That's all it is. You see, no amount of work can get you into heaven. No amount of good works, no amount of good deeds. It's faith in God, coming to God in the way that He has provided, which is through Jesus Christ, who has died on the cross for our sin. That's what salvation is. And salvation can be had by obedience, repenting of sins, and trusting in Christ. Now, how about after salvation, if we want to have success in this world? You know, part of living in this world, we have temptation that we have to deal with. You know, there's sin that we can stumble into. Also, we want to serve God. We want to walk with God. Well, that comes through Christ as well. Turn with me, if you would, or if you're taking notes, I'm going to read John 15, beginning in John chapter 15. And I'm going to begin read verses 1 through 4. John 15 and verse 1 says, this is Jesus speaking, I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Verse 4, he says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. You see, Christ taught his apostles, and this teaching is for us today as well, that if we want to have success in our life spiritually, we want to have success in our life, we have to abide in Christ. We can't find it in our own strength, in our own power, our own might. We have to abide with Christ. We've got to let Him work through us. Abide with Him. He's the true vine. He's the one that will produce the fruit in our life. He's the one that will provide the works that we need. We just need to trust in Him. Philippians 4:13, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He didn't say some things or a few things. He said all things in Christ. You know, this morning, I want to challenge you to take that seriously. Let God work in your life. Fall down on your knees, seek Him in prayer. If you've already trusted Him as your Savior, you belong to Him like Joshua did, walk with Him now. Obey His Word. Let Him lead you, let Him guide you, let Him direct you. You know, when you think of Joshua, we don't find anywhere where Joshua pulled out the compass. We don't find where he got the map out and said, well, I think we should do this, 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 this. God said, you go here, and I'll take care of it. Then God said, you go here, then I'll take care of it. You go here, I'll take care of it. You see, God led him, Joshua followed, and the people were blessed. Yes, he had to make decisions along the way. Yes, he had to challenge the people. Yes, in battle, they had to make some quick decisions. But God directed him where he wanted him, and then God blessed him. So we find some divine direction for the nation of Israel, and it was simple. Take the land. Just go in. Go take the promise that I have given. So that's the first point. The second one is the conquest. Chapters 10 through 12 of the book of Joshua. This is probably the exciting portion for those that like action. This is where you find it. Chapters 10 through 12 is where we find the battles, the conquest. Actually, it goes back a little further. Excuse me. Chapters 6 through 12. We find the conquest and the battles and the conflicts in the book of Joshua. We find in Joshua chapter 6, probably one of the most well-known stories comes out of the book of Joshua is the, I'm about ready to say the Battle of Jericho, but it really wasn't a Battle of Jericho. It was the Siege of Jericho. They marched around it under God's direction. They blew the trumpets and the walls fell. And one of the greatest miracles took place. You see, what it was is God said, I'll give you this city. You just need to follow my direction. And I believe that God gave them some interesting direction on purpose to test their faith, to test their obedience, and to show them that it wasn't in their might and power, but it was in His strength that He would provide. Jericho was the first city that they would take as they would enter into the land. You see, God is giving them a blueprint for success is what He's doing. He's saying, the first city we come to, you follow this, and you're going to be successful. So Joshua chapter 6, if you have your Bibles, let's just look at a few verses in there. Joshua 6, it says in verse 1, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I've given thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor, and you shall compass the city, all you men of war. Go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. Verse 4, and the seven priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. The 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, he says here, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout. And the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. Now, I think of myself. These are directions I could follow. You look at this. He didn't say you have to go out and be a trained warrior and soldier to go out and take this city. Now, there's nothing wrong with training. I thank the Lord that our military trains and that they're prepared. But here, talking about success with God, God was giving them a blueprint to follow. And God is basically saying, you trust me and I'll take care of it. You obey my direction and you're going to find some success. So he told them to march around the city 6 days. 7th day to blow the trumpets, and the walls would come crashing down. And the Bible says that they obeyed. They followed this direction, and they were successful. You see, that's all it is. In the book of Joshua, we find that God was working on behalf of the people and that God was providing blessings. Now, this encourages me. I just tell you, this encourages me as a pastor. You know, we all start somewhere, right? We all start somewhere, and nobody starts with all the knowledge in the world, with all the experience, all the blessings. And so when I read things like this, I think, you know what? God can bless me. God can bless my life. All I have to do is obey Him. This morning, God can bless you as well. At work, in your family life, in your career, as you serve Him, simply obey God. Walk with Him and let Him work in your life. And that's what we find in this passage. God directed, they were obedient, and they found success. Now, this was the pattern they were to follow. Their blueprint to success, like I said, the same holds true today. Salvation, follow the pattern, trust in Christ, repent of your sin and believe on Jesus Christ. God's provided the work. He's provided the atonement on the cross. We just have to provide the obedience. And then success for God's glory, trust God and live by faith. You know what? You're reading the book of Joshua. You would think, at least this is my opinion, I read it and I think, wow. They must have just cruised into the land, had no problems. Well, notice in Joshua chapter 7. This is right after the battle of Jericho, after they took the city. It says, chapter 7, verse 1, but the children of Israel committed a trespass. And the accursed thing, it says there, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. What had happened is, when they... After Jericho had fallen, they were told to not to take any of those things for their possessions. That was God's direction. Well, someone disobeyed. Someone decided they're going to hold on to something, and Achan did that. Well, notice verse 2. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven, on the east of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up, and they viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua, and said unto him, let all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men. And notice what happened. And they fled before the men of Ai, and the men of Ai smote them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate. Here's what happened. Noticed. They come into a different situation right after Jericho had fallen. Now this Jericho was a fortified city, packed with people and soldiers and warriors that fell, and they were able just to march on in and take it. And now they come across another group, and Joshua says, well, let's go check them out. And so they send out some reconnaissance mission there, and they look at them over, and they come back and say, hey, Joshua, this will be a piece of cake. There's not near as many men as there were in Jericho. We don't even have to send our whole troops. Let's just send a few. We'll take care of this. And they did. You know, when you look at this here, it seems like they had better chance of success here than they did at Jericho. They obviously had more confidence. I mean, they weren't even going to send all their men. They were just going to send a handful. They should have won this battle. The Bible says they went out there and they retreated. They ran. They fled. And they were defeated. Here's the lesson for us in this passage. The Bible says they lost because they did not have God with them. That's all it is. You say they were successful against Jericho because God was with them. They were unsuccessful in this situation because God was not with them. You see, without God, they could do nothing. And that's the point of this passage here. You see, their sin, that's what happened here. Sin prevented their success. Eventually, they dealt with the sin, and the Bible says they were given success over those people. You see, when sin is found in our life, we're not going to have the success that we may want or hope for or desire for. You know, 1 John 1:9 tells us how to take care of that. It says, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, as believers, that's there not so we can use it as like a escape out of jail card. It's there so when we make a mistake, when we stumble into sin, when we say something we shouldn't say, when we go somewhere we shouldn't go and the conviction's there and we realize, hey, you know, I should not have said that. I should not have done that. That's there so we can get right with God. We know that God has promised to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness and bless us again. That's what happened with Israel. They sought God. They got their sin. They removed the sin. Now, by the way, you can't go and say, well, I'm sorry, and then continue in the sin. You have to confess it and forsake it. That's what they did in Israel. They got rid of it. They got rid of the sin. And God bless them again. You talk about some important lessons for us as we live for God. You see, as we live for God, if we're going to have success, we have to walk with Him. But if we don't, we're going to run into the failures. And that's what they had first. They had the failures here. They failed because they went without God. Now chapters 10 through 12, I put a point there called the fruition of their faith. Basically, in those three chapters, 10, 11, and 12, you see the nation of Israel storming into the land. I mean, it's a vast area. It covers a lot of time in a short period as far as the chapters. But the Bible says that many of the nations in the land allied against them, but they could not stop the Israelites. The Israelites went in and soundly defeated their enemies, and the Lord blessed them as promised. According to Joshua 12, 33 kings and kingdoms were conquered. Think about that. You're talking about a group of people that came out of Egypt as slaves. They went into the wilderness, and there they wandered for 40 years, a new generation. They weren't trained for battle. They had a few fights along the way, but nothing occurred that would make you think that they would be able to pull this off. Bible says they went into the land, conquered 33 kings, 33 kingdoms, all because of God. You see, that's the point of the book of Joshua. Their success came because of God's power. You see, the Israelites were nothing without God. But with Him, they were unstoppable. Let that sink in this morning, believer. Without God, I tell you what, we can do nothing. But with God, we can do great things. All things are possible with God. You see, that's what this tells us here. Now, the key verse, I think, to this whole book is Joshua 11. Let me read it to you. Joshua chapter 11. If you're looking for a key verse of this book, notice in verse 23, Joshua chapter 11. And it says in verse 23, "So Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord said unto Moses. Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel according to their divisions by their tribes. And the land rested from war." We find four thoughts here in this key verse. First, success. You know, I told you this is the book of success. They took the land. They were victors. They conquered. They went in. God blessed them. They were successful. They could rejoice. So first, they took the land. The second thing we find in this verse is the fulfillment of God's promise. Notice it says, "According to all that Jehovah spoke unto Moses." I'm going to tell you this morning, if God has said something is going to happen, it'll happen. His word is good. We just need to trust in Him. And that's what happened here. God told them, "Take the land, I'll give it to you." They obeyed, and God blessed. Thirdly, the possession. The land was given to Israel. Just as God had promised, He gave it to them. And then finally, notice it says that they had rest. Peace. You see, when they were walking with God, and they found success, the Bible says that they found rest. They had peace in the land. You know, this morning, as believers, we can have peace. That's the first thing. With God, we can have peace. But you know what? When we begin to do our own thing, live without God, I tell you what, I believe our salvation is secure. I believe that. I believe the Bible teaches that since we didn't earn it, obviously, since we didn't purchase it, that it's a gift of grace. I believe the Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit will keep us. But I also believe that as a believer, we can be miserable if we're not walking with God. And we can have a life with no peace, a discontent life, a life of misery and struggles. Sometimes I think believers that are not walking with God are the most miserable people on earth. I've met some that I think the reason why they're miserable is because they're not walking with God, and they know it. There's some conviction taking place in the heart, and they know they're not right with God. I'm speaking from experience, by the way. There have been times in my life where I was not walking with God the way I should have been, and it seemed like everything else was out of place. It is just nothing seemed to be working right, and it was because I was not right with God. And once we're not right with God, we're going to struggle. You see, we need to obey God, and when we do obey God, it's possible to be successful with Him. Here's my third thought, and this wraps up this book here. The third thought is the claims. Beginning in Joshua 14, it goes on through the end, Joshua 14, we find the land being divided. First off, the inheritances. You see, the land was portioned out to each family. And I'm not going to take the time to read through all these because it gives each tribe and it tells their allotment that they had there in the land. But what we find is they were to maintain their tribal names, the names of their ancestors, the tribe of Judah, the tribe of Benjamin, the tribe of Levi, or so forth. They were to maintain those names, and they were to reside in their appointed geographical locations. Now think about that. They didn't get to choose their name, and they didn't get to choose their place. God said, "This is yours." You know, life is a lot like that, is it not? I didn't get to choose where I was born. I don't know about you. I didn't even choose my name. I know you can change your name, but you know, I didn't get to choose my name. I didn't get to choose my parents. God put me here. I didn't get to choose the generation. God put me in this generation. You see, those are God's choices. And God has put us here. Now, when you think about God's choices, we can either complain about them and gripe about them, or we can accept them and be faithful to God. You see, we find here the people were to be content with where God had placed them. They were to be content with God, and they were to be faithful where God put them. They weren't to go and say, well, you know, I like that land better over there. I think that my tribe should have that instead. Let's trade. No, no, this was where God wanted them. You know, this morning, let's remember that. Now, I do believe that we should, there's nothing wrong with seeking a direction from God and moving or finding a new position at work or whatever else it may be. But here's where I think we have to apply this. Let's say, let me just give you an example. Let's say you are seeking a new position. Let's say you have applied or you're looking for something new. And let's say God shuts those doors. Let's say you applied for a position and you look and you don't get it. And you say, you know what, I was qualified for that. You know, there may be times you may say, I was more qualified than the person who got it. And that may be true. You see, you can either become upset, you can become bitter, you can become angry, or you can say, you know, God has a plan for me. And He wants me right here, right now. I don't know why, but I'm going to be content with that. And I'm going to be faithful where I'm at. You see, that's what the Israelites came into. They weren't to go and wander around. They were done wandering. The wilderness days were over. They were now to be content where God had placed them and be faithful as God would work through them. So we find that God put them in the land. And here's my other thought on this. The Bible says that they claimed God's promises. That's what they were doing. As they were going into the land and each tribe was getting their allotment, they were claiming God's promise. See, God had given them the land. He said, this is going to be yours. This is your section. And they were claiming God's promises. God had given them this promise. And now they were taking it. You know, this morning, God has given many promises. We just have to claim them. And I think the first one's salvation. Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a promise. That's God's word. We're not to change it. We're not to adjust it and say, well, on certain situations. No, God said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Any sinner can be saved if they repent of their sin and trust in Christ as their Savior. Doesn't matter their race. Doesn't matter their age. Doesn't matter their background. Doesn't matter where they've been or where they're going. Anyone can trust in Christ as their Savior. See, that's a promise that we can claim. And this morning, I hope you've claimed that promise. You see, that's a promise for you. That's a promise for all sinners to trust in Christ. And if they do, they'll be saved. Here's a few more. There's a whole bunch in the Bible. Here's a few more. We can also find help when we're in trouble. It says in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. You know, that word for casting talks about just throwing something on there. You see, we're to cast our cares on God because God cares for us. That's another promise. God will take care of it. Another one is found in Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You see, we can approach God in prayer and God will hear and God will answer. Prayer. I encourage you to seek God in prayer. Whether it's prayer for wisdom, for direction, for help, for praise, for honor, whatever it may be, talk to God. You have a privilege, you have an opportunity to seek God in prayer. And the Bible tells you that if you go boldly before Him, that you'll find grace and mercy. You're not going to be rejected. You're not going to be cast out. You belong to God. He's going to hear your prayers. Now, He may not give you the answer you want, and He may not give it when you want it, but He will hear your prayer, and He'll answer. You see, that's a promise we have from God. In our time of need, we can go to Him. So we find their inheritances. And here's the last thought I have for you this morning. I want to talk about them inside the land. That's what this finishes up with. The Bible says, now read this book. It's a great book. They went into the land. They got the conquests. And then they all divided it up the way God had directed. They got their portions. And then they began to reside in the land. You see, they found rest in the land. You know, God is good. He is. God is good because He's true to His word. Because He keeps His word. He told them all this beforehand. All they had to do was obey, and they did. And He promised it. So He told them, you go in there and you take the land. Now turn with me, if you would, to Joshua 24. This is the last chapter of the book. And this is Joshua himself talking to the people of Israel. And he is nearing death. His time on earth is near its end. God had worked through him in a mighty way. And in Joshua 24, he gives a final, I guess you say, command or direction to the people. And notice in verse 14, He says here, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose ye this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house," he says, "we will serve the Lord." You see, what we find, and not just here, but through this entire chapter, the last few chapters of the book of Joshua, was basically a warning. You see, they were in the land now, and their conduct would determine if they would continue to be successful. That's basically what we find there. There was a condition, Joshua says, to them coming into the land. He says, if you're going to continue with God and you're going to be successful, you have to remain obedient. You have to serve Him. You can't go back to your old ways now that you're in the land. You can't go back to those old gods and bring them out and go back to your old ways. You have to continue serving the God that brought you into the land, that has blessed you, that has provided for you. And he said if they return to their old ways, then they could expect to lose His blessings. But if they would remain with God, they could expect to be successful. Man, I tell you what, this reminds me of our walk with God as believers. You know, once we're saved, we have some decisions to make. God has given us the ability to make decisions, and we have some decisions to make. We can choose to walk with God, or we can choose sometimes to go back to our old ways. To go back to some, perhaps maybe a sin that once held on to you. Maybe an attitude that you once had before you were saved. See, once we're saved, we have to continue to obey God's commands. Now, if we return to sin, we shouldn't be surprised if we don't find success with God. That's the lesson of this book here. If we return to sin, if we return to our old ways, then we're going to struggle. We may be discouraged. We may find some difficult times because we're no longer walking with God. But if we remain faithful with God, success is going to be found. See, that's the point of this book. Success. Walking with God. In closing this morning, I want to go back to Joshua 1 because I want to point out something. Let's go all the way back to the first chapter as we close out this message, Joshua chapter 1. And in verse 6, it says, "Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them." Now notice verse 7. "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." The Israelites were promised success, but they had to observe the law. They had to remain with God. It says they're not turned to the right nor to the left. They had to stay faithful to God. They had to meditate on God's word, and they had to obey His direction. You see, this morning, the key to success is your relationship with God. That's the key to success. First, it's the key to success concerning life and death. Each of us is going to face death. If the Lord does not return, we'll face death. We'll go into eternity. That's just part of life. Where you spend eternity depends upon your relationship with God. If you know God through Jesus Christ, His Son, you've repented of your sins, you've trusted in Christ as your Savior, then you have found success. What I mean by that is when you go into eternity, you'll be with God forever. Not separated from the Lord, not facing punishment, but you'll know salvation forever. See, your relationship with God determines that. And then success in life. After you're saved, the key to success is your relationship with God. That's the key. Because with God, we can do all things. We have the strength to overcome sin. Yes, temptation is strong in this world. There's a lot of temptations. We get out of church, you can drive down the street, you're going to run into temptation probably as soon as you get in the car. Someone's bound to cut you off on the way and make you want to say something. You see, there's all sorts of temptations out in this world to get us angry, upset, to act worldly. With God, with a strong relationship with God, obeying His Word, we can find success over those temptations. We can find success over sin. We can find success as we serve God. We can be blessed spiritually because of God. You see, the key to success is your relationship with God. And this morning, I pray you have a relationship with Him. You know Him as your God. You know Christ as your Savior. And then afterwards, you're walking with Him. If there happens to be sin in your life, confess it and get right with God. You know, in closing, read this book. Read the book of Joshua and be reminded that with God, all things are possible.